If you got your Bibles, you can open with me to James, the book of James. As you're turning there, I'm going to share a story with you about a time when I was a teenager. As a teenager, I was living at my parents' house, and I really wanted this pair of rollerblades. I really had it in my heart that I wanted this pair of rollerblades, and I was earning money, and I was trying to save up money for these rollerblades, and I got into about $20 away, and I'm like, I only have $20 more than I need to earn before I can get these rollerblades. And I was walking by the kitchen one day, and I happened to look over, and on the kitchen table is my mom's purse. And in my mom's purse, her wallet is sticking out. And out of my mom's wallet is a $20 bill sticking out. Not even thinking anything about it, I was like, I'm going to go over and I'm going to take that $20 because that's what I need. I need $20. So I went over and I took the $20 out of her wallet. And I said, okay, well, my mom knows that I'm raising money, I'm earning money to pay for these, so she knows that I don't have $20, the $20 that I have left to cover it. What am I going to do to make it seem like I just got this $20? And I had this thought come across my head. I'm going to go and like clean underneath my bed, and then I'll pretend like I found it down there. And so I went and I started cleaning underneath my bed, and I pulled the $20 out, and I said, look, I found $20 underneath my bed, Mom. I said, can we go get the rollerblades? And she said, sure, we'll go get the rollerblades this afternoon. So I was like, okay, I'm all excited. Only to find out about a half hour later, she comes and says, you took that $20 out of my wallet, didn't you? How many know I was in trouble at that point? I was in trouble. I talked about repentance a few weeks ago. I needed to repent that day of all the things that I was doing wrong that day. It's the only time I ever got in trouble as a kid. I'm glad you laugh. Yes. But today, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to read about what the Bible says to do when we are in trouble. So James chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you that, God, that your word is truth. It is God-breathed. It is active. It is meant to teach us and to rebuke us and to correct us and to train us in righteousness, so that the man of God or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped. And so, God, teach us and train us and correct us and rebuke us today, God, that we may be more like your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. Short and sweet, right? I thought we had a lot to read today, but I didn't. Didn't have that much to read. But we're going to talk about trouble. What is trouble? You think about, like, that was nine words that I just read out of the NIV translation there. Nine words. Just like Jesus wept, that's the shortest verse of the whole Bible. Two words, Jesus wept. Very short, but there's a lot in there. And there's a lot in this, just in this one word here. That word trouble in the Greek is the word kakapatheo. Kakapatheo. It means to suffer evil or affliction. But in this context, we're going to take it one step deeper, and it means to be afflicted, to be troubled, or to be dejected. Dejected. What does afflicted mean? Afflicted means something that causes pain or suffering. James says, are any of you experiencing pain or suffering? To be troubled, what's troubled mean? To be beset by problems or conflicts in life, lots of them, to be surrounded and to be overcome by them, to be troubled. James says, are any of you troubled? To be dejected, not to be rejected or ejected, but to be dejected. That means to be sad or depressed. And James says, are any of you sad or depressed? So we aren't just talking about getting into trouble with your parents here. Well, that does apply. But here James is talking about all the kinds of troubles that we can encounter in this life, including those things that trouble us. Those things that trouble us. And those things many times have their origin in spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. And speaking of spiritual warfare, Gary Wilkerson, who is the son of David Wilkerson, the founder of Teen Challenge, said this. I've seen a lot of faithful people who are depressed, discouraged, and ready to give up for one reason. They believe they shouldn't have conflicts in life. In other words, believers who think they shouldn't have any trouble. He says, if we understand that we're born into a battle, as the Bible shows, we'll accept that we're engaged in warfare and that it has a purpose. Without this understanding, we won't see the victories that are part of God's plan for us. I like how he says that we are born into a battle. When we're born physically, we are born into that battle that we may not recognize as being waged around us. But when we are born again, guess what? The battle rages on. And actually, it becomes more intensified because now we got a big old bullseye on our back that the enemy is shooting for. But at least at that point, after the point of being born again, we begin to become aware of the battle being raged around us and for us. As through the Holy Spirit, we begin to see how the battle interferes with our lives. It brings us trouble. It brings us trouble. And even though as believers begin to see this, we can get hung up on the trouble itself and miss the reason for the trouble to begin with. Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble. That's not an if you have trouble. That's a you will have trouble. You will. Why do we have trouble? Well, for one, all of mankind has an enemy. For two, the fall of man into sin, beginning with Adam and Eve. And for three, because of the enemy's goal to take us all captive. To take us captive. To bind us up and to keep us from living the abundant life that Jesus came to this earth for. Listen to what Paul says as he tells Timothy here about that. In 2 Timothy 2, let me begin reading in verse 24. A few more than nine words here. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents, meaning those that are opposing the Lord's servants and what they are to do, what they are doing, must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they, verse 26, will come to their senses and escape the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. What's the enemy's goal? He sets up traps to take us captive into doing his will. And he battles relentlessly to get through to us, causing trouble in our lives. Trying to keep us from the good purposes that God has already planned for us before every one of our days came to be. I'm here to tell you that conflicts and trouble are a part of this life. But the good thing for believers is that we know why it is that we're going through them. Because we have an enemy. Because we live in a sinful, fallen world. And because that enemy's goal is what causes trouble in our lives, to take us captive. That's his goal. But our Creator's goal is different. God came to earth as Jesus Christ, our Savior, not to take us captive, but to set the captive free. Amen? Quoting Isaiah 61, Jesus said of his mission here on earth in Luke chapter 4, Jesus said this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And he said this right after that. He said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." In case anybody there thought that that was still, he's just reading out of the prophet Isaiah. No, he's saying that this scripture today, when he came that day, and he was there that day, he said, "This scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Praise God. By the way, Jesus didn't only say, "In this world you will have trouble," in John 16:33. He didn't leave it at that. But he finished that statement by saying, "But take heart, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world." Notice that he said that from a place of completion. I have overcome the world. This is before he died and rose again to overcome. But he says it from a place of completion. Why? Because Jesus is already in the future. And he sees every struggle that you and I go through, every trouble that we go through, from that place of completion. We're in it, but he sees it from the place of completion. How important is it, like what we read earlier in James chapter 5, how important is it to come to him with those troubles, the troubles that we have? For we only see in part. How many know we only see in part? Everybody else needs to read 1 Corinthians 13, all right? We only see in part, but he sees in full. He sees in full. This is what David said about the Lord in Psalm 32 and verse 7. He said, "You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance." Now, I want you to know that protecting us from trouble doesn't mean we won't have any trouble at all. Okay? Jesus said, in this world, we will have trouble. But that in the trouble, God will protect us from the effects of the trouble on us. Does that make sense? We're not protected from all the troubles we face in life, but God can protect us from the effects of the trouble that we experience if we will come to him with it. Psalmist Asaph said in Psalm 50, verse 15, speaking the Lord's words here, he said, "And call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will honor me." I want you to know he's not referring to just one day of trouble. If you've lived longer than one day on this earth, you know that there's more than one day of trouble you will face in this life. Can I get an amen? Thank you. Yes. So there are multiple days of trouble. In fact, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6 that this day has troubles enough of its own. So therefore, we don't need to think about tomorrow. Let tomorrow worry about itself. Today, every day, has trouble of some sort in it. Love the way you're shouting about that. But he wants us to call on him, promising that he will deliver us from all of the trouble, again, not taking us out of the trouble, but protecting us from the effects of the trouble in our lives. That's his role. That's his lane. If we will call on him in prayer, like James chapter 5 says. The hang-up is, why don't we come to him with our troubles? For one, when we face troubles or affliction or dejection, we become troubled. We become troubled. And in doing so, we can lose sight of what is true. We get focused on the trouble. Brian on Wednesday night was talking to the youth about our imaginations. It was really cool. And he was saying that our imaginations, that place where we meet with God, is the bridge between the spirit and the soul, is our imagination, where we can visualize the things that we cannot see in the physical. Okay? He says how we worship God in spirit and in truth. I love that picture. That place where we can't physically see or audibly hear God, that's where we worship him, and it's in our imaginations. Those things that God gives us vision of, gives us revelation of, that place that we can meet with him in the spirit. And now those imaginations can be used for good or for evil. We are given that ability so that we may meet with God, to be able to see beyond what is in the fleshly realm, to be able to see into the spirit realm. And that's good, that we may meet with God. But this is also a place where we can imagine into existence things that are not true. Our eyes can lie to us and see things that aren't really there. And we can begin to believe it's true. Like a child who thinks there's a monster living under their bed or in their closet. If we think it, if we believe it, then it becomes true for us, even though there's no monster there. I can make myself dizzy just by thinking, am I dizzy right now? I can make myself dizzy. I can cause that in my own head. And in a similar way, when we are troubled, we can be led into captivity by the enemy if we see our troubles as reality. That's the first one. The second one is, we have a tendency to try and figure it all out, don't we? When there's an unknown, we want answers. We want this to make sense. We want to know, right? And by golly, we got the internet today. The internet has all the answers on it. It has answers on it They're not always the right answers. But here's the point. Troubles don't always have a solution. Though we can think of a few things that God could do to help us with our troubles, troubles don't always have a solution. Sometimes troubles are just troubles. Because we live in a sinful, fallen world with an enemy that uses trouble to drive us away from the one who gives meaning to our lives in the midst of the trouble, protecting us from the effects of the trouble. And when the enemy gains access to a believer, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, not demonic possession, but through a door that's left open and a room that's left unoccupied, and the enemy gets access to us, then when that believer faces trouble, we can get caught into the questioning of, why am I dealing with this? Why is everybody always picking on me? Right? And well, that's not the wrong question, unless we, pitch a tent right there, throw our bedding in there, build a little campfire, get a little thing to sit on, and sit there and just have a pity party, right? Why is everybody always picking on me? Just sit there and not have anything, like that's where we live at, to stay in that place. No. Then it becomes a wrong question because we're sitting and we're stewing in that. That becomes our reality. I'm the one who's troubled. I'm the one that everything bad happens to. We get into that mindset, and that becomes our place where we're dwelling, okay? A better question to ask is, why am I not taking this to the Lord and leaving it with him? Maybe we do take our troubles to the Lord, but do we leave them there? He said we would face troubles in this world, but then he said that we can take heart because he has overcome the world. Why wouldn't I take my troubles to the one who has overcome the world? Just like Gabriel said it June 2nd over there at the Teen Challenge event right before baptism. We asked him, why do you want to be baptized today? And he said, why wouldn't I want to be baptized? That's the better question, is it not? Why wouldn't I want to get baptized? A third one that came to me after I had written this message in my quiet time, a third reason is, why is it we don't pray in our trouble or give our troubles to the Lord? It's because we don't think that God's going to do anything about them. Maybe because we've done some things that are wrong. Maybe even the moment we've done something that was wrong, we're like, oh, God is upset with me. He is not going to listen to me. He's not going to help me when I ask to give him my troubles. That's maybe one thing. Other thing would be is that maybe you've asked him before for help with the troubles that you have. And in your perception, he hasn't helped. So why go to him anyway? There's a few scriptures that came to mind that God put on my heart. And I just want you to just hear these things. This is Isaiah 40 and verse 27 in the NILT translation, or NLT. He says this. Just put your name in there for Jacob and for Israel. He says, oh, Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? Oh, Israel, how can you say that God ignores your rights? Those are rhetorical questions. Meaning there's not really an answer to them. Okay? You know the answer. It's understood. How can you say that the Lord does not see your troubles? How can you say that God ignores your rights? Psalm 31 and verse 7 says, I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction. What's another word for affliction today? Trouble, yes. You saw my affliction and you knew the anguish of my soul. You knew the anguish of my soul. You saw my affliction. That is God's heart for us. Regardless of you think of how bad a thing is that you've done, if we cherish sin in our hearts, the Lord does not hear us. But if we repent, he will hear us again. If you come to him and you say, God, I'm sorry. These are the troubles that I'm dealing with, and this is what led me to this point where I did what was wrong in your sight. I'm sorry. He's going to hear you. He's going to hear you. And more than that, he cares about the anguish of what you're going through right now. He sees it and he cares about it. He knows it. Doesn't it feel better when you're going through something and you feel like, I'm the only one that's going through this. Nobody else is going through this except for me. And all of a sudden someone else comes along and says, I've been there. I've gone through that. Doesn't it bring a sense of comfort and hope in your life? And God says that to each one of you. He says, I know what you've been going through. I sense it. I know it. I felt it. My life, as you walked this earth as Jesus, I felt it. I know what you're going through. I care about that. Give me your troubles. Give me your troubles. So what do? Pray. Pray. Pray when you're in trouble or you're troubled. Pray. No matter what the trouble is, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, whatever it is. Pastor Rick DeBose says, when we pray, the enemy loses ground in our lives. But when we get busy doing other things, and we stop praying because we don't have time for that right now. And I would interject, when we're troubled and we don't bring our troubles to the Lord, then the enemy gains ground in our lives. Three examples from the Bible really quickly of those who prayed in trouble. Number one, Jonah. Jonah prayed in the whale. How many know he was in trouble? For 3 days, he lived in the belly of the whale, down at the depths of the sea. It says where the roots of the mountains are. That's where he was at for 3 days. And yet he had enough air to pray a prayer of repentance, stating in Jonah 2 and verse 4, he says, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. Prayer of repentance. Jehoshaphat, number two. Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, in 2 Chronicles, verse 20. He had the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Meunites, three different nations, come against him in war. What did he do? Did he muster his army and say, okay, we're going to go take them out because we're the Lord's army. We're going to go take them out. Three against one, not a big deal. What did he do? He didn't do that. He prayed that God would judge his enemies that were attacking him, and he made this confession to the Lord. Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Our eyes are on you. That, to me, sounds like a humble prayer. The third one, the psalmist Asaph. In Psalm 77, verse 1 and 2, he said, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, sounds like trouble, I sought the Lord. At night I stretched out untiring hands and would not be comforted. What are we to do when we're in trouble? One of you got it. Thank you. Pray. Here's our main point today. Troubles belong in the Lord's hands. Troubles belong in the Lord's hands. Psalm 50 and verse 15 again. Call on me in trouble, God says, and I will deliver you and you will honor me. How many know we honor God when we testify of how he's delivered us, right? But I believe we also honor God when we give him our troubles. Because we acknowledge in humility, I can't handle this. God, I need your help. Doesn't that honor him? Yes? Okay, there we go. When you're experiencing pain or suffering, when you're beset with problems or conflicts, when you're sad or depressed, take it to the Lord in prayer. That's the title of the message today. I totally skipped over it. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Like the old hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, written by Joseph Scriven in the 18th century, an Irishman. His story goes, he was a believer living in Ireland. He got engaged to a woman, and the day before they were to be wed, she drowned. Now, not able to cope with the grief at that point, he moved all the way from Ireland to Canada and began to live over there in Canada just to get away from that situation and where everything happened at. And while he was there, he fell in love with another woman. And they were betrothed, but before they got married, she got sick and died. I mean, no, he was having some troubles. He's having some troubles. I love listening to the stories behind the hymns. It's always so good. It's difficult, but it's so good. And so what did he do? Instead of turning away from the Lord, he was a follower of God. He made a vow of poverty and said, I'm going to choose to faithfully live for God So he lived a life of poverty and for 10 years served other people with anything that he had. And he found some meaning in that. Until 10 years later, he got a letter from his mom. And his mom was dying. And he had taken this vow of poverty, so he doesn't have the money to get back over to Ireland where she's at. And so he can't go. So what does he do? He writes a poem. And that poem is What a Friend We Have in Jesus. I'm going to read it to you today. It says, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee, and thou wilt find a solace there. In the midst of all the troubles of his life, he found in prayer what the psalmist declared, protection, deliverance from the effects of the trouble that was in his life. Amen? What has become your reality? What are you troubled with? What are you trying to figure out or work out through on your own? What do we need to take to God today and leave with him and not take back? As you close today, we're going to play that hymn. We're going to have that just a time of worship. I'm going to have as the song ends, I'm going to have the prayer team come up, but I just want you to, I just read you the words. You're going to hear them in song. Receive them today. Worship in them today. Give your troubles to the Lord. Would you stand with me as we sing this song today? Father, I thank you that we have the privilege of coming before you and bringing our cares and our concerns to you. And so, God, in this moment right now, would you help us to let everything else go and worship you and give you those things that we need to give you today, Lord, those things that belong in your hands, those things that we can use to honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.